This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The idea that I'm going to say, which I would never do, that if an unaccompanied child ends up at the border, we're just going to let him starve to death and stay on the other side. No previous administration did that either, except Trump. I'm not going to do it.
All right, so that's Joe Biden, your prez. He did a press conference today and focused a lot on what's going on at the border, and he was asked questions about that, and you heard what he had to say there. Just Trump, not him. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, hope that you are well wherever you're hanging these days. You know, we're getting closer to the light at the end of the tunnel. And speaking of tunnels, as I have spent a week with the Border Patrol, and I have been along great patches of that border, not the entire border, but big pieces of it. I've seen some of the things that happen with people crossing, and some of what happened two decades ago still happens today. And now it is a nightmare because you have a lot of these unaccompanied kids that are there. So Biden, who vowed this whole transparent administration, has done one thing that has not been transparent. According to the media and those with camera crews who want access, they're not getting access at the southern border, meaning in some of those facilities where you have beds and space for 250 kids and you have four times that amount. Congressman Chip Roy from Texas, Republican from Texas, wrote in a letter to the president on Thursday, signed by 20 of his House Republican colleagues, it is far worse than most realize, largely because your administration is not only mischaracterizing the crisis, but also prohibiting journalists from witnessing and documenting the crisis up close. This is an insult to the purposes of a free press as defended in our Constitution, which are to inform the public and hold those in power accountable. So if you don't know, what's happened is they're restricting access to reporters and cameras, you know, while they're being overwhelmed by an influx of unaccompanied kids, migrants, etc. And the president acknowledged that and faulted, as you heard, the Trump administration for the way Trump handled it. And in the first press conference of the administration, said he's inclined to open press access at the border after his corrective plans there are implemented, because he was really pressed about this as he was giving a presser in the East Room, and there were, of course, journalists there. And he said, I'll commit when my plan very shortly is underway to let you have access not just to them but to other facilities as well. And here specifically is another piece of what he said about what we're seeing at the border.
Those who are coming across the border who are unaccompanied children were moving rapidly to try to put in place what was dismantled, as I said. For example, of all the children who are coming across the border, over 70% are either 16 or 17 years old. We're not talking about people ripping babies from mother's arms or little three-year-olds standing on the border. Less than, I think it's 1.5% fall in the category of the very young.
All right, so this is a nightmare, and it continues to be a nightmare. It was in the previous administration, the administrations before that. I've said this ever since I got behind this microphone and have talked about the Border Patrol. When I first got out of school, and I was a television reporter in El Paso, Texas, and I witnessed things that I hadn't ever seen before because I had never lived in that part of the country. And I saw the massive crossings, you know, over the Rio Grande. And I saw a lot of people who didn't make it. It was the first time I saw, sadly, the image that burned in my head as those that drown, and how we would sometimes get there because we had access we would get there before the Border Patrol got there, and there would be people who washed up. So it is a very tragic situation that continues to be tragic. And there was some misinformation because I think that so many spread the word that Biden's different, and they decided they were off to the border to escape, frankly, horrific conditions with drug cartels pressing kids into action and many of the other things that are not exaggerated that you've heard about. So they're coming for freedom. They're coming to get away from something horrible. They're coming for opportunity, but we know there is no way to just open the floodgates. So I'll be curious to watch this bouncing ball and see how long it takes to get different kinds of images in some of these facilities. There were other things that Biden talked about, including when he was asked about running again, because, you know, the people that help you get elected, it's in their interest to see you get elected again. And there's always that question of, are you running? And he said, yes. He said he's running and that Kamala Harris would be his running mate again. So he's essentially declared, unless something else happens that's unforeseeable, that he's going to be there in 2024. Here's what could be really interesting. How many think that Donald Trump will run again in 2024? It would be a repeat of what we saw the last time around. In other words, those two squaring off is what I'm saying. And there were other little things that also came out that that Biden talked about, including COVID-19 and his plans for, what happens next and what the high water mark is and what they've hit so far, and also prioritizing infrastructure and pandemic, by the way, ahead of guns, I think, and immigration, because it is pandemic, and infrastructure with a giant bill that he wants to see passed on the Hill to provide that money to open the floodgates for fixing bridges and roads, etc., across the U.S. And in that news conference, that's where you got the sense that, okay, this is where the focus is. It's not focused so much, even though he talked about immigration, it's not focused so much on immigration, or not to say that there's not that push for gun control, but that takes a back seat to the two other priorities on the list, and that is the pandemic, and the pace is clear. His new goal is 200 million coronavirus shots in his first 100 days. So he increased that number. He revised it. It's twice the original, but it's very similar in setting the president up to declare victory on the issue that will define the beginning of his presidency. So to reach that goal, the country has to administer fewer than 1.9 million doses per day, less than the current average of 2.5. You had plenty to say about the border, pandemic, tornadoes, yes, some deadly tornadoes in our mailbag, and that's where we're headed next.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. It gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A 1 pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
What? Dig in the mailbag.
All right, we don't have to dig very far, thanks to all of you. 24/7, flip me your thoughts, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Jake in Austin says, "Delaney, long time, I've been swamped. I'm listening to you sometimes later in the day. I am burning the candle at both ends. Enough about me. You and I both know, living in the great state of Texas, there is massive problems with immigration. You're damn right when you say you traveled with the Border Patrol. You've seen this for a long time. And there's just little tweaks and turns, and the narrative still is the same thing. It is a huge problem. It's a huge problem in schools. It's a huge problem sometimes in hospitals, and there's offshoots to all of this. And never, never, never has there been a continuous pattern of what to expect, what's going to be done, just a lot of promises, and then the clock starts over when a new administration starts, or the House or Senate flip in a different direction, if you know what I mean. So sometimes there's more of a flood, sometimes there's less of a flood, and right now the gates are wide open because the president talked about embracing everybody, and now you've got people that are walking long distances just to try to get across the border and come in to the United States. But how many of those people end up somehow crawling through a tunnel or some other way with these coyotes who are nefarious and really only want the bucks that they can get for getting them across, and somehow some of them miraculously make it, and they end up in a house with a lot of people stuffed inside just to try to survive in the United States under the wire. Well, that's a mouthful, and that's some of what the problem is. There's no doubt about that. And, I mean, the stories are sad. Some of the stories are awful. It just depends. It depends on the family. It depends on where they're coming from. It depends on if it is just a child that's been sent to the border or more than that or who's on the other side. It is a complicated mess that could have, I believe, of course I have no way of knowing this, but I believe that if the policies that started to be set back in the 80s by the Reagan administration, if some of that had been followed and there wasn't all this access, over access on top of what there already was to jobs, etc., and looking the other way, it might not have been quite this bad, right? There might have been a different way around some of the problems. All right, here's Mac back from a heart attack in New Orleans. We have so many Macs. There's Big Mac and another Mac that also writes in, and occasionally in the past has called in. Anyway, Mac back from a heart attack, it's good on that if that's what that means, says, I, for one, am so tired of hearing about immigration woes. Listen, you and I could not just go over a border and decide that we were going to live there and then hope and pray that we don't get caught, Kate. And I know we're a big country, and I know we're a gracious country, and I know we're a nation of immigrants and absolutely all of those things. But what about the people who are trying to come here legally, who can't, who get stuffed in the back of a line, who pay a fortune to different attorneys, and they can't even do it? I mean, they'd almost be better to try to figure out a way to sneak inside and live in a way that they can't be detected. Yeah, but that living in a way they can't be detected, if you've got somebody who wants to go to school or they did go to school and they want to pursue some other kind of white-collar job, that's a whole different thing. But yes. I mean, it's the same song that I've been singing, that we've talked to attorneys about, that we've had people on, that, again, I've said I witnessed things at the border myself, different areas at the border, and it's awful. I mean, it's awful to see the kids, of course. There's been lots of great documentaries on this that you can watch and see and look at it and say, wow. And when you see it from the eyes of the Border Patrol, too, boy, it's a whole different thing. All right, and then one more on immigration. Joe in Iowa on 1340 AM, which is miraculous. I think somebody must have told him that I was on there. He found us that quickly, and because that just started this week. And Joe says, Kate, it is such a blight on the United States the way the border has been handled. And I know the wall just sounded so raw and wrong to lots of people, but in a sense, the idea of we can't just keep doing the same thing, that we have to shut off the valve, that we have to stop that flow. If it's not the wall, it's got to be something else, and there never seems to be any answer. There never seems to be any money to go in that direction. There's just always a Band-Aid that's put on top of another Band-Aid where there's more Border Patrol agents that get hired, so that means more cat and mouse. But it still doesn't solve the dilemma, and it doesn't stop the people who are bringing in the drugs that are being pumped out on the streets, that are killing lots and lots of people. I'm not naive to that. People want drugs. There's ways to find that. Yes, we know it. But it is a pipeline of a different sort as well. You know, of course, that's the other side of it, right? The argument is, well, not the criminals, of course. Send the criminals back. Keep the criminals out. But the criminals are profiting. And that's why they have the money to come up with yet another way to dig a tunnel. Then they discover it somewhere in Tijuana, and then they plug the gap and take pictures of it, and everyone oohs and ahs. But then they come up with another one, or they find another way to get around it. Where there's a will and there's money to be made, there is a way, as they say. All right, how about this one from Donna as we move away from immigration and go into vaccination. Donna says, Kate, didn't you say on the air, because you were talking about basketball, that your family, some of your family went to Rutgers. Do you know that Rutgers is saying that all students that are going to go to in-person classes have to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19 with very, very small exceptions? I do know that because my godson works at Rutgers, actually, in the communications department, and you're right, several people, my father, my mother, my brother went to Rutgers, and I have family members there now. So, yeah, I mean, that they decided they're swinging for it. That there's other schools that are going to do it, so they're going to try to go back to pre-pandemic normal, and that's why they say they're announcing that. That the path forward is COVID-19 vaccination and the fall term. I mean, that's flat out what they're saying, because it'll allow the school to increase face-to-face course offerings and hold more events and activities and expand dining and rec options and have more interpersonal collaboration with faculty and students and researchers. But they want people to be safe, and so that's their stance. And in broader terms, that's exactly what they said from the onset, that if there was an effective vaccination program to make the community in Rutgers safe, that this is what they were going to do. And then, of course, there was a statement, a whole long statement that was released, and just said, we appreciate your patience and understanding and commitment to health and safety, and we look forward to seeing you on campus. So will other campuses do that? I think some. I do. I think some will follow now that Rutgers broke this wide open. But no, I don't know that all will. I don't know that every campus is going to say that. But then are they going to have problems with COVID cases on the rise on the campus? So how do they reverse that? Because it still is about herd immunity. And, of course, in universities, we saw that universities had to close down or had to have kids stay in dorms when they had outbreaks at Duke and so many others. So this is something that I'm sure is a top priority for anyone in academics as to what's going to go on. You know, absolutely. All right, let's go to this one. How about this one from – this one is from Anne, and she says, Kate, I'm sure you will talk about this, but it's just crazy what happens with these tornadoes, and that every time you hear about tornadoes in Alabama, it just seems to get worse. And I feel for the people in Alabama, because they keep having some of the same spots that keep getting hit. You know, it's funny you say that, because I was when I saw the one tornado touchdown in Shelby County, and I know there's people in Alabama listening to us, and in Pelham, just crazy close calls for people. You're right. I mean, some of these disastrous storms smash in through there, and that one tornado in Alabama is the same spot that was hit 8 days ago. I was watching a reporter talk about what the tornadoes were like, and showed the long track twisters and how this is going through the night. Just awful. There was one tornado on the ground for 100 miles. Really crazy. Stay with us.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Multiple locations are reporting injuries as tornadoes rip through the south. The Calhoun County, Alabama Emergency Management Office says at least 5 people have been killed in Ohatchee. In Pelham, Alabama, there's reports of heavy damage.
We've got trees and power lines down. It is essential, please, stay off the road so first responders can get in here to help these people.
Public Information Officer Ainsley Allison. Governor Kay Ivey offered condolences to all of those impacted by the storm. The National Weather Service has tornado watches and warnings in effect. During a news conference, President Biden discussed the surge of migrants at the border. He said he's made arrangements to help more children.
Secretary of Defense has just made available Fort Bliss, 5,000 beds. Be immediately available. 5,000 beds in the Texas border.
This is USA Radio News. The Texas Department of Health says the number of dead from February's winter storm and blackouts is now 111 people, which is nearly double the initial tally. He says most of the deaths were from hypothermia. North Korea state media claims Pyongyang has launched a new tactical guided weapon. The report says Kim Jong-un couldn't be there. Tornado watches are in effect from Mississippi to Illinois. Alabama has been hit with a few big ones. There have been reports of some long track twisters. Tanya Sims says she didn't realize the tornado was there in her hometown of Eagle Point until it had hit.
I had no idea we were under a tornado warning. I got the dogs, all the animals downstairs just in time. But I thought, that doesn't, you know, we don't have tornadoes.
Police in Pelham say at least 50 homes were damaged. Police in Calhoun County say there have been multiple injuries and at least 5 people have been killed. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on healthcare by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsidebend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com.
Check. Yeah, well, check this out. A Georgia man did finally get his last paycheck. He was done in November, but didn't get his paycheck until final paycheck until March 12th. He left his job, Andreas Flatten, at AOK Walker Auto Works in Peachtree City. And finally, like I said, after fighting tooth and nail to get his final paycheck, he got it. It arrived at his home in Fayetteville in the driveway in the form of tens of thousands of pennies, about 500 pounds of pennies, and they had been greased up with motor oil. Oh, and there was also a note reading simply, blank you, use your imagination. Oh, my. So, of course, this goes viral because Flatten's girlfriend shot a video of the penny pile and put it on Instagram, and she describes the circumstances of his departure that say that he had allegedly given a written resignation letter with 2-week notice. That's what you do. That 2 weeks turned into 5 days because he was harassed, and swore at and everything else. So... again, That is a toxic boss to be that angry that they oil up a bunch of pennies, take a wheelbarrow, and dump them on your driveway. Wow. I don't know that I'd want to take my car there, frankly, after seeing that. Isn't that crazy? I mean, hell hath no fury like a boss who's not happy or an ex one who didn't want to pay you. I guess figuring, oh, he'll leave me alone. He'll go away. You know how many pennies that is? 91,514 pennies. That's insane, isn't it? Ah, it's one of the craziest stories that I've seen in a long time. I feel for you if any of you work in that kind of an environment. And, you know, sometimes it is tough, right, to give that two-week notice because of the way you're treated on the job. And then that's the final, you know, insult by getting the check, but not the check, instead the pennies. Wow. Nuts. All right, this is also nuts in a much different way. I know people like Star Wars. I know they're crazy about Star Wars. There's lots of guys listening in this audience. It could be women, too, that like it all. Like the new stuff, like the old stuff, can't get enough of it. Star Wars. George Lucas has made a fortune on Star Wars. And I wasn't initially a Star Wars fan, but I've come to enjoy it because of my nephew and the Hubs. And so I wouldn't call myself hardcore, though, hardcore Star Wars fan. But I would think you would have to be to get a watch that is supposed to symbolize Star Wars Death Star. It costs $150,000. And you can't use pennies to pay for it, by the way. So, yeah, $150,000. It's got 281 components. It has an Imperial class Star Destroyer. It is cool looking. You know, it makes one revolution per minute. I could go on and on with this. But, and it's titanium and all of that, and Swiss design and engineered, it would have to be. Oh, they do give you several straps. They have interchangeable straps to it. And it's shipped for $150,000. You can have the shipped to you in an official screen used Kyber crystal. So that's the power source of the Death Star laser, if you don't know. And it was an actual prop used during the filming of Rogue One, a Star Wars story. So you'd have to really be into it and really have money to burn. There's money burning a hole in my pocket. I have to get this watch. It's $150,000. I could buy maybe a couple cars with it. Or, I don't know, save it, go on a vacation around the world, but I'm going to get this wristwatch. I mean, obviously, it's cut for certain people, but I know there's somebody out there that whether they really, really had that money would piece it together because they would desperately want to have that because they are such huge fans. I used to be a big fan when I was a kid because my grandfather read the newspaper, and so I wanted to read the newspaper and be informed like he was. And we got like three papers. Two of them were, one was the Philadelphia Inquirer, one was the Philadelphia Bulletin. And the Bulletin, that's defunct. So many papers have gone down because who's reading newspapers online? Yes, and somewhat print versions being picked up in big cities and little towns, town newspapers and suburban newspapers. But the Los Angeles Times and the San Diego Union-Trib, they say they lost north of $50 million in revenue in 2020. They had an all-hands-on-deck kind of meeting. And newspaper people get nervous about that because they know, ooh, we're teetering on the edge. So they're saying the losses are just a catastrophic drop in revenue for the company, where they're already strapped anyway, and they're not producing cash. And, of course, the majority of the losses would come from what? Print advertising. So digital advertising, sure, some. Print circulation would also have some losses. And they're saying that now they're not going to go back in print advertising to where they were. And they're talking about the fact that they got a $10 million PPP loan from that came out from a meeting that they had because of the revenue that they lost. So they had to get a boost, too. And it made me think, I mean, how many people, I just wonder, how many people even listening to this show, how many of you read a paper? I mean, is that, can you even remember the last time you read a paper? And I'm a voracious reader. Last time I read a paper, now magazines, other books, of course, I'm huge with books. We have our author's corner, all of that. I love it, love it, love it. But I'm an onliner, so there are some publications I pay for on to read online a little bit, but nothing like when you would get those subscriptions are nothing compared to what it would cost to get the papers delivered. And they can't possibly, that's the problem, they can't possibly keep doing some of what they're doing if they don't get that revenue, I guess, digitally. But I guess the number I was surprised about, it just reminded me that maybe some of you used to read papers here and there, but how many of you read them now? And especially if you didn't have them delivered and you would pick them up occasionally, right? If you were picking them up occasionally, then doubtful that during the pandemic, that's the one thing that you were going to go out and get, unless it was the excuse to go out and, I don't know, stretch, right? And then when you talk about money and you talk about what you're slashing and what you're not doing, I saw an interesting statistic about investing in the stock market. And, of course, people that have money will tell you, you diversify, and one of the keys to building wealth or having money to retire on is investing. But 39% of adults say they have no money invested in the stock market. This is a survey from Bankrate, and two of the main issues holding them back, what do you think they are? Of course, a lack of resources and of knowledge, because that's the other part. You don't have to have a lot of money. I say that all the time. You don't have to have a massive amount of money to invest. But you do have to learn and pay attention. That's why Robinhood took off, and there are other investment places, platforms you can go with not having a lot of knowledge and then investing. And it's not a barrier. You know, it's not a barrier. It's just easier, of course, when you have when you have a lot of money to invest, because of course it would grow faster. But I thought that was interesting. 39% is a very, my friends, a very, very big number. Very, very big number. All right. Just because you might not know this, and this segment is about money, 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 as you heard, the White House did say on Thursday they're dedicating another $10 billion to try to drive up vaccination rates in low-income, minority, and rural areas throughout the country. It's funded through the $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package passed earlier this month that included $6 billion in funding for community health centers to expand COVID-19 vaccinations, testing, and all that other kind of stuff. So they're going to start distributing the money in April to 1,400 centers across the country. And again, $3 billion to bolster vaccine confidence. They're spending $3 billion. It's parceled out to 64 different areas. You know, faith-based organizations, food assistance and housing nonprofits, door-to-door outreach, education efforts. That seems so high, but think of how big the United States is and what the big push is. By the way, the pandemic has killed more than 545,000 people in the United States. Those figures are from Johns Hopkins University. Coming up next, what would it be like to be a hippie and travel on a motorcycle through Europe with just a few bucks in your pocket? Find out next. As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Trying scuba diving in Thailand, Orla Doherty was hooked. Perfect time to talk to our next guest. She's amazing. It's Women's History Month, but she could join you at any time, any place, and just totally regale you with her stories of traveling around the world. Madeline Harwell has written a book called It's Who I Am, One Hippie's Life Story. Wait till you hear about her adventures. It's going to make you want to travel. Madeline, thanks for coming on.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Closing your eyes, like I said, that analogy, you don't have to do it. You're surrounded by, I'm sure, pictures and mementos of all the places that you've been. So how did it start out that you got this wanderlust and you were able to act on it?
Well, my parents spent my entire growing up years fighting and screaming at each other, and mine was not a happy home. So it became my mission in life to find a new and better way to live with peace, love, and acceptance without rancor or judgment, but rather the unconditional love I learned from my dog. And all I wanted for my life was to be happy. So this set the stage for what was to be the baby boomer hippie life I came to live as I came of age in the 60s with all the free-spiritedness, drugs, and adventuresomeness that that time inspired. And my book tells of all the adventures I had seeking out what life held for me.
All right, so what life held for you is something that I wish I could have done. You went to Europe, and at 17, you did the motorcycle thing. Wow, what was that like?
Well, it was freedom. It was wonderful. I had just decided I was going to buy myself a motorcycle and do Europe the way I really wanted to do it. I did it twice, actually, that way. And even drove over the Alps in February and slept in storm drains and just under bushes and just lived the free, wonderful life that youth can allow you to do.
And it's so funny. You did that then, and now you have celebrities who want that freedom, and they get on, they rent motorcycles, and they go across Europe, and some of them have done, you know, television shows that are out there, and it made me think of you. I just saw something about Matthew McConaughey doing the exact journey that you did, and he talked about the Alps, and it made me wonder, were there very many young girls, any women out there that were doing that?
Not really that I came to know. I might have seen a couple on the road, but basically, no. I know I passed groups of people hitchhiking and was just glad I had a motorcycle and wasn't one of them.
You were a trailblazer. So when you went to all those places, and I know it's so hard to pick it out, but when you were doing the motorcycle Europe thing, did you have a favorite place, just some kind of village or cafe that you sat in or something that you did that was just blew your mind at the time?
Probably up in Denmark, in Sweden. It was really great. There were young people, there were people that I could speak with and share experiences with on the road. And it was just a very calm and peaceful and sharing time.
And plus, we should tell people you speak French and German, so that came in handy, huh?
It did. Yes, it did. And the girl that was on the back of my motorcycle was a German major in college, so she taught me a lot and helped me, you know, to fill in the blank spaces where I couldn't manage by myself. So that was a big help, too.
Yeah, so you did that, and your book talks about all these great things. I mean, you have to read this book because it'll make you want to get the same kind of wanderlust that Madeline had and that she was able to act on. And, of course, the 60s was different, like you talked about. It was a free time. I love the word hippie. What does hippie mean to you?
Free-spiritedness, drugs, and adventuresomeness. And love, unconditional love, sharing, joy. Those are the words that come to my mind.
And so when you set out to write the book, did you just decide, hey, I have all these adventures, I've had all these things that have happened to me, I want to write about it?
Well, you know, when I would talk to people and tell them a story from my past, so many people would say to me, you know, you really ought to write a book. So I decided I would do that.
And then, like I said, you have all these adventures in there. And, you know, it's interesting is not just in Europe, Mexico, another place that you went, and then in the U.S. What's it been like traveling around the U.S.?
Well, it was great. I had bought a van, who I called Thor. And Thor was like my partner. Like I said, we went to Mexico, slept in the van, and lived out of it for 3 months down in Mexico, traveled around the U.S., California coast, back and forth. Thor was my buddy, and I never felt as comfortable or as at home as I did when I was in my van, or as safe, strangely enough. Felt completely safe in my van, Thor.
Wow. So what did you do with the van? Where's the van? You have to sell it eventually?
Well, that's in my book, the story of what happened to poor Thor. You have to read the book to find out. But I had Thor for many years.
All right, that's a good tease. Because, you know, I had to tell Madeline that my husband got the book, and so I'm very scared that I may end up doing a world adventure, too. And here's what I love. It's never too late. And you know, you talk about what happened then and why you did what you did and how you found that love because of some of the environment that you grew up with. But really, it's never too late to travel. And you even did that. You tell us the story about how you ended up outside of Sedona.
Well, we had lived in a hippie ghost town called Jerome here in Arizona back in 1971 when we took off, and that's where we ended up, my husband and I. So we lived there for about a year and just absolutely loved it. It's on the side of a mountain. It's a ghost town, ghost city now, because a lot of tourists go there. But anyway, back then, it was just a town filled with hippies, and we loved it. After about a year, though, we had to leave to go get jobs because we had run out of money. Well, fast forward about 45 years, and we're living at that time in Arkansas in Hot Springs. And I said, let's go take a trip to Utah and see the national parks there. So we did. And when we got to Flagstaff, I said, let's take a trip back to Jerome and see it. I hadn't seen it since we had left 45 years ago. So we went down to Jerome, and as we're coming through Cottonwood and Clarkdale, which is just right before you get to Jerome, I looked around and I said, oh my goodness, it is just gorgeous here, how it's grown and just become a beautiful little town. And I said, you know, I'd like to live here again. So my husband said, yeah, I wouldn't mind either. So we went on up to Jerome. When we came back, we went to a real estate agent, and she sent us to look at one house because we didn't have a lot of time. We had commitments, you know, for motels and things that we had to get on with. But we looked at this one house, and I looked around. And I said, you know, this house is absolutely perfect. Let's buy it. We went back to the real estate agent and said, we'll take that house.
Oh, lucky real estate agent.
Yeah, she was kind of floored.
And so how long have you lived there, and what's that been like?
Well, we live in the town of Clarkdale, which is at the foot of the mountain where Jerome is. And we've lived here about 9 years now. Absolutely love this area. Love living in the desert. The climate is wonderful. You can go out every day and walk in the sunshine. There's trails all over the place to hike. Just absolutely wonderful. Always things to do, craft shows, art shows. It's just a wonderful, wonderful music, lots of music.
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful place to live. I think my moving wandering days are over. I still go on vacations and trips, but I think this is where I will be till the end.
Well, I love it.
I hope so.
Yeah, I love Arizona, and I love that that part of the Arizona that you're talking about. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, I hope that they will be inspired to be free spirits themselves and to live life fully, to make the most of every moment, never to waste any time, to be inspired to just go for it.
I like that. Just go for it. Those are words that somebody put on some shirts and some athletic wear, because there's a reason for that. And you did it. You just did it. You went for it.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.